our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of the Lord Jesus, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 7 to 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. Brethren in Christ Jesus, O door, man, that is all we are, a doorman. We attend school for 20 years. We inconvenience our family and bring them here to the seminary, and we go out into the ministry upon ordination, and all we can account for ourselves is that we are a doorman, standing at the entrance to the kingdom. Just a doorman, that's all. But consider the door. Jesus says, I am the door, is the Son of the Highest, Christ Jesus. You and I would not aspire to be a porter at any other port hall. But Christ Jesus dignifies our calling as a door man. For through this entrance, says Jesus, men will be saved. They will go in and they will come out. Which is to say, they will enjoy peace and safety and rest for their soul. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The salvation of sinners is not an option in the Christian faith. It is everything. What are you going to be doing 150 years from now? Is the lead question a pastor uses in his evangelism ministry. Our peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ will be the one and only priority 150 years from now. Nothing else in the universe will matter, except that our names are written in the book of life. And the holy ministry, brethren, pivots on this great central truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lord, to whom shall we go, exclaimed Peter. Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, there are doors to education and academic excellence. There are doors to wealth and other portals open to vibrant thought. And each of them has their own professional sentinel. But you and I are invited in the holy ministry to be keepers at the door that opens to life eternal. And that door is Christ Jesus himself. I am the door, says the Christ. In these verses, our Lord is speaking from the pastoral scene of the ancient world, when the sheep were grazing in the hills, too far away to return to the village for the night. They were gathered into sheepfolds, which were simply open areas enclosed by a wall. There was a single opening by which the sheep came in and went out. There is no door or gate, but during the night the shepherd himself lay down across the opening, and no sheep could get in or go out except over his body. In the most literal sense, the shepherd was the door. There was access to the sheepfold only by him. And the Apostle Paul reminds us, through him, Christ, we have access unto the Father. Christ alone and none other is that door. That may sound a bit deferential, even prejudicial, even bigoted, as some will criticize. But who else, brethren, except Christ Jesus, bear in his body upon the cross the burden of our sins? I ask you, who else was raised from the dead on the third day for our justification? Who else has come to bring life and life more abundantly? Are there any figures on the scene in history or in the present or any coming in the future that are worthy of our confidence and faith? Consider the cross. Consider the empty tomb. Christ is the only door. Who fills with meaning those New Testament themes that are interwoven in the message of our salvation? You know the words. Words of peace, hope, the kingdom, faith, grace. All of them make sense. They have meaning. They are a blessing and a comfort only because Christ Jesus is at the center of one and all. Christ alone is the door. You and I in the pastoral ministry stand by this great door through which men find salvation and rest for their souls. What a calling indeed. It is the custom of some churches to place into the hand of ministers in the service of ordination or installation to place in their hand a Bible, the Scriptures. We are here at the seminary to learn the proper use of those Scriptures and administration of the sacraments for this purpose only, that we may lead men to the door, to Christ. In short, that you and I may be faithful door men. Now may we change the imagery for a moment from that of the shepherd as the entrance to the sheepfold to the door man at the entrance of a fashionable hotel or restaurant in our modern day. You know, there are some doorkeepers who fail miserably, who all but stand in the way and block access to the entrance. You see them strutting up and down the sidewalk, sometimes engaged in conversation with this one and that one, preoccupied with their own importance. Well, maybe it's the fancy uniform they wear that goes to their head. In any case, a traffic jam develops in front of the hotel. Who knows the door? Who knows how to direct the public? But the people cannot get to the entrance because the doorman is unfaithful, distracted with extraneous matters. Well, that's a frustrating situation in front of a busy hotel. But the doorman's failure in the ministry is more than frustrating. It's tragic. Some poor lost sinner may not reach the door because of the folly of the doorman. That could happen. When a man aspires himself in the ministry to be somebody, when, like the doorman I described a while ago, he struts on the stage of the church, in pomp and circumstance. When he fantasizes what a great preacher he will be someday, or what a crack administrator he will become, or what a large church he will build, that man and his dreams and his fantasies may well be standing blocking access to the Lord Christ, who is the door. There are spiritual leaders who take off on their own theological hobby horses in this direction and that direction. They have the habit of mixing into their exegesis of the scriptures their own special breed of exaggerations and distortions, and they make the word of the gospel come out according to their own theological agenda. And where is the door? Well, the door is way down the hall somewhere, and first one has to get through the labyrinth of all of this man's private theological concoctions, and then he may get, the poor sinner may reach the door, and he may not. Again, some doormen get in the way of people coming to Christ simply by their general superficial attention to the depth of the riches of the mystery of God. During the seminary days, they have preoccupation with many things. Assiduously, they avoid readings and bibliographies. They quench every prompting from within to pursue a theological topic, a word study, or an authoritative theological work. They take all the shortcuts through the seminary and they create some new ones. And they quickly hasten down the freeway of many distractions of work, of family, the city, sometimes even the field education church. And who knows that if not in the future, that kind of amateurish approach to the business we're about here will not cost a man in preparation to help some poor soul to find Christ, the door. But we're here this morning, brethren, to hear how we may be effective doormen. And our words need not be long, but to the point. A faithful doorman, what does he do? He always steps aside, and he lets others have full, free access to the entrance. That kind of humility has to come when we ourselves walk through the door to his Christ. Our Lord Jesus stepped aside. He became the perfect servant. He did not consider the glories of heaven and the door thereof something to be grasped immediately or selfishly, but easy. But we're here this morning, brethren, to hear how we may be effective doormen. And our words need not be long, but to the point. A faithful doorman, what does he do? He always steps aside, and he lets others have full, free access to the entrance. That kind of humility has to come when we ourselves walk through the door to his Christ. Our Lord Jesus stepped aside. He became the perfect servant. He did not consider the glories of heaven and the door thereof something to be grasped tenaciously or selfishly, but he emptied himself And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And when a man like you and me, with all of our sins of the flesh, that would in this way or that way block entrance to the door to heaven, when men like you and me walk in and out of the door which is Christ crucified, when we walk in and out here in our Holy Communion and partake of his body and his blood, then our Lord Jesus, the Master, is at work, fashioning, equipping you and me to be what he calls us, doormen to the kingdom. The Lord Christ this day, deliver us from that arrogance of our own self-importance and our own self-ambition in the ministry, and take us to his death on the cross and fashion us as he will. Just a doorman, that's all. But what else? A doorman for the Christ. Amen.